Go.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody once more for joining us for our third monthly Friday with Fridays. I am very pleased to be able to announce that Richard Crosby has agreed in just the last week, because of my horrible lack of preparation, to give a presentation tonight. Great to see everybody that's here, and for everybody who's watching this after the fact, I hope that you thoroughly enjoy the presentation tonight. So, a little introduction for everybody, just in case you had never heard. Richard Crosby was born in Ashland, Ohio, and raised in Largo, Florida. He holds the Bachelor of Music degree in Music Education from 1979, Master of Music degree in Piano and Wind Conducting in 1981, and the Doctor of Musical Arts degree in Piano in 1990 from the University of Cincinnati's, I assume that this is College Dash Conservatory of Music. His principal piano teachers at CCM were John Moretta and Richard Morris. Dr. Crosby was appointed to the faculty of Eastern Kentucky University in 1986, where he serves as professor of music. In 2014, he was honored by his selection to be an EKU Foundation Professor, whose members are recognized for their contributions above the level necessary for full professor in the areas of teaching, service, and scholarship/creativity, and served as the chair of the Foundation Professor Selection Committee for 6 years. His teaching duties at EKU have included private and group piano, as well as music history from 1999 to 2019. He served 6 years on the board of the EKU Center for the Arts for during its construction and through its first two seasons. He has served as vice chair of the Faculty Senate since 2019 and will become the chair in May of 2021. Dr. Crosby also serves as director of the Stephen Collins Foster High School Piano Camp, held every summer at EKU, and is an active adjudicator. Initiated in 1975 to the Eta Dash Omicron chapter of Phi Mu Alpha Sinfonia, the Fraternity for Men in Music, Dr. Crosby served from 1988 to 2019 as governor of Province 25 and served as national president from 1994 to 1997 and 2003 to 2009. He has received the Orpheus Award, was made a signature Sinfonian in 2015, and is one of only three living recipients of the Ossian E. Mills Award. Dr. Crosby's compact disc/cassette recording, An American Portrait, released in 1994, features works of Charles Griffiths, Amy Beach, William Grant Still, David Guion, Louis Moreau Gottschalk, Lee Hoyby, and George Gershwin. This disc is available on the Parma label. In addition to performing, Dr. Crosby has ventured into the world of composition. He has received three commissions from the Kentucky Music Teachers Association to write his, buckle up for this, Sonata for Trombone and Piano, Opus 1, his Sonata and Viola and Piano, Opus 10, and his Sonata for Cello and Piano, Opus 19. Other works include Appalachian Variations, Opus 2 for Symphonic Band, commissioned by EKU in honor of its centennial observance, a Walt Whitman Portrait, Opus 8 for Chorus and Symphonic Band, a Concerto for Trumpet and Orchestra, By the Waters of Memory, Opus 9, and Variations, Opus 13 for Solo Piano, Four Latin Dances, Opus 14 for Oboe and Piano, Remembrance, Opus 16 for Marimba and Piano. I apologize if I mispronounce these last couple. The Ricercari, Opus 18, and Canzona, Opus 20 for Trombone Ensemble, and his Piano Sonata, Opus 21 in B minor, commissioned by SAI Fraternity and published by C.F. Peters. His new text, The All-in-One Laboratory Piano Course, is due to be released in May of 2021. Giving us a presentation tonight titled Thoughts on Life and Leadership, it is my privilege and honor to present Dr. Richard Crosby.
Thanks for that wonderful intro, Dave. Appreciate it. You'll have to show me how to do the screen sharing and all that.
At this point, if you hover your mouse over the Zoom meeting, there should be a green button toward the bottom that says share screen. It'll give you an option of which part of your screen you'd like to share. I believe you had mentioned a PowerPoint.
Yes.
As long as the PowerPoint is open on your desktop, it should be one of the selectable options. As he's doing that into the chat, I've put a link to the EKU profile for Dr. Richard Crosby, should anybody care to check it out.
Ah, there it is.
Excellent. We can now see your screen.
All right. Let me find the starting place on this. So this is a presentation I've given a number of times in the past. I've touched it up just a little bit for tonight, but it's essentially the same one I've given at many leadership institutes, PG convos, CPR convos, and province workshops around the country. So as you can imagine, having held so many offices, I've been able to deduce a few things that might be useful for other people who want to be in leadership. So here we go. That is the question. People say, I want to be a leader. And then that's my response. And they usually haven't thought that far. So if that's the case, we proceed. I couldn't figure out how to animate this, but I knew everyone would realize the relationship to me from all these other presentations. But some reason people seem enamored with power. They don't know really what it is. They just think it's attractive, and they think that's where it's at. That's not really what leadership is all about. This is an answer I get quite often too, to which I respond. That sets them back. Then, somebody needs to mute. Thank you. So my response to that is, and that also throws them for a loop. So now their whole, cool, I want to be a leader has just been, they've been thrown off their game, because I respond with questions. But it's important, because there's right reasons and wrong reasons to want to do things like this. And so therefore, here's one I think is worth considering. Most young men that I know, most young people that I want to know, would say this if I pressed them. That's what they want to do with their life. That also. And what better way to do that than to, you know, for us to be part of something in an organization that encompasses the values that we hold dear. So that's one of the reasons I got into leadership. Now, here's a term you all need to know, because you will find it whether you're looking for it or not. Anticipointment. This one was coined by my department chair that hired me. Think about all the fraternity leaders over the years who came across as, you know, great guns. They've got all these leadership qualities. They'll be the best thing for leadership since sliced bread. And then they get in the position and nothing happens. So you have all this anticipation of great things from them. And then with most of them, it ends up being disappointment, partly because they didn't necessarily understand what they were getting into or why. So, but if you're going to be in leadership, you're going to find this happens more often than not with the people who come along with you. This is a Karate Kid sort of thing right here. I've had it up to the top of my head with people who say, I'll try to do something for you, or I'll try to get that done, or whatever. No, you don't ever try anything. There's only do. Try is an excuse that you're going to not follow through. So I don't accept try. Here's another one. If you guys haven't figured this out now, you haven't been paying attention. You have to embrace conflict if you're going to be in leadership. I'm not saying you have to like conflict. I certainly don't. But conflict is part of dealing with people. And when it's done in a healthy way, it brings out the best in everyone, conflicting ideas. Think about our founding fathers and that wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, Hamilton versus Jefferson. Now, there are some conflict for you. Totally different philosophies of what the country should be. Out of that conflict, though, when it's well managed, you find the best of both worlds. But just understand that not everything is holding hands and singing kumbaya. People have different ideas. It's not always going to be fun, but if it can be channeled right, it can be a constructive thing. This is one of the hard parts of leadership. You know, being national president and having all the volunteer leadership serve at my pleasure, there was occasionally times when, like a governor, let's say, hadn't done an official visit for 10 years. And I would have to say, I'm sorry, brother, we don't need your services. Thank you for your service, though. Or if someone is breaking the law and giving the fraternity a bad name, I say, we can't tolerate that kind of conduct. And so I'm afraid I'll have to ask, I'm going to give you the opportunity to resign to save face, but we can't do this anymore. I've had to do that too, and it's not fun. I've had to do this too. Sometimes this goes better than other times. The last couple of years, it hasn't gone so well. But in times past, I've had to be able to do this and get people to shape up and get their head on straight and get with the program. And it's been a beneficial thing. This is a Winston Churchill kind of philosophy right here. You can't quit. You simply can't. If it's something you believe in, if you ever want to succeed, you can't just throw in the towel. You have to keep fighting. I think back to the years when I was in graduate school, a starving doctoral student. I tried for 3 years to find a college teaching job. I applied for 35 jobs over that time, living on maxed out credit cards, dealing with a hand injury that I thought ended my career before I ever got my degree even done, studying for doctoral exams that I didn't think I could pass, and I did fail them the first time. But the last job I applied for was the one at EKU, and it was the best one I applied for. What if I'd given up? So you've got to have stick-to-itiveness in order to succeed. Life is not easy. The only guarantee is that you will fail if you give up. There's no guarantee of success if you keep at it, but that's the only chance you have. And chances are, if you're made of tough stuff and you stick with it, things will eventually break your way. Yeah, now this, I'm thinking back here to when we tried to redirect the fraternity towards the object instead of the five purposes and getting back in touch with what our founders had in mind. There was a whole generation of active leaders and alumni before them that didn't like that. But I was convinced that that was the right thing to do because the why of who we are is important. So you just have to understand that a lot of people are not going to agree with you. But if you're doing what you think is right for the right reasons, you just have to forge ahead and let history be the judge. Now, this is one of my favorites. Everyone knows an answer to this that they've been told since they were kids. It is not my answer. I'm going to show you my answer and you may laugh, but here it is. I assure you, I am not kidding. That's part of what's gotten me where I am. It's sort of the Keanu Reeves from The Matrix when he's standing in the martial arts pose and then just waves the tips of his fingers like, come and get me. Yes, that's it. Life is always going to give you lemons. Life is not fair. Life is not unfair. Life just is. So you just have to keep your eyes open and understand that and find your way through it. Because if you keep thinking, this is not fair, life is so mean to me, you won't get very far. All of us, if we are lucky enough to live long enough, are going to suffer terrible losses of friends and family, disappointments. That's just the way it is. But I'll venture to say, if you stick with it and persevere, the good stuff that comes along will be even sweeter to you because you've lived through all of the travails of life. Personal story. When I was 17, the greatest goal I had in my life was to be drum major of my high school band. Comes the night of the football game where the name is announced over the loudspeaker. It was down to me and one other guy, and the other guy's name was called. And I felt my world collapsing in like a psychic shut down inside. That was the roughest time in my young life that I had ever experienced. The next morning, the band was due to be at a local recreation center to clean out some undergrowth as sort of a fundraising project to help us pay for our European trip that we were going to take that summer. When the band director pulled in the driveway to the rec center, I was one of the first four guys standing there with a shovel in my hand at 17. And he told me that next week when we got back to school, he says, I know how hard that was for you to do that. I really appreciate the character that you showed. Let me explain to you why I decided what I did. And we had a conversation that I'll never forget. And that disappointment made me strong enough to face future disappointments, which made me strong enough to face future disappointments. And so I would not be able to bear up under the things that I've had to do as a leader if I hadn't been kicked in the teeth along the way many times. It ain't fun, but it's a necessary part of personal growth. So just keep that in mind. Now this one, Father Don will agree with me on this. People have this crazy concept of back in the distant past, when the mists of morn vanished before the glory of the rising sun, human beings were more incorruptible. And it was civilization that made mankind evil. And back then, like in the Middle Ages, you see all the pictures of the people walking around with their hands folded in prayer. You think they weren't just as rotten as people nowadays? Oh my God. So keep that one in mind. Human nature is what it is. It will be helpful to you to understand that and not be naive. This is sort of an Abraham Lincoln thing. You all probably know the story about how he would be so frustrated with his generals that he would write this scathing letter to them and then seal it in an envelope, write on the back, not sent, and put it in his desk drawer and lock it. And then later on, when he had time, now that he'd gotten all the bile out of his system, he would compose a more diplomatic thing that would have a constructive outcome. We don't have that option nowadays because you can fire off a text and hit send and there's no taking it back. So thou shalt think before thou hittest send. It's much easier to think about this before you make a mess than to try and clean up the mess. I do that with emails to this day. I've done a lot of that over the last couple of years. Okay. Yeah, now this is like, what am I trying to accomplish? Do I accomplish anything by screaming and having a temper tantrum, or just think about it and decide the ultimate importance? And that's really kind of the next one right here. Think about in any chapter meetings or other leadership positions you've been in and there's a disagreement that gets very heated. What would you think if that was your last day to ever see this person and that was the last thing you said to them, something in anger? Doesn't mean you shouldn't be angry. Anger is natural, but keep a perspective, okay? This one, this is sort of a credo for me. If I didn't have people's trust when I was national president, I would not have been permitted to accomplish the things I accomplished. Only because people trusted my motives, that I was doing things for the right reasons, would they relax and let me do my job. You can see with your own eyes what happens when trust is not present. So if people trust you and you've earned their trust, that is priceless, not to be discarded thoughtlessly. That goes back to the restoration of the object and things like that. But any leadership position is like that. You're going to have to educate people as to what you're doing and why. And some people either can't understand the big picture or refuse to understand and want someone else to tell them what the big picture is. You know, think about a certain quote unquote news channel on cable. You have to be ready to face people like that and still stick to your guns. I'm sitting here looking at this one very hard right now. Moving right along. If you're like me, who always assumed the best in people and was always getting a rude awakening, not always, but you know what I mean. This is another way of saying don't be naive about people and what motivates them. Because at the very least, you may be disappointed, but at least you won't be surprised when you find out that, yep, just like all the rest. This is important too. One person can't do a whole lot by themselves. Think of all the teamwork it took to get the fraternity to where it was in the first decade of this century. And to do this, you have to be comfortable enough in your own skin to let other people have responsibility and to let them get credit. But if you try to do everything yourself, not only will you fail, you'll kill yourself. So this is an absolutely essential aspect of leadership. And here's another Lincoln thing. How many leaders do you know that would pick all the people that thought they were way smarter than them and make them your cabinet after you've defeated all of them in your presidential election? That takes a lot of self-awareness of what your limitations are and understanding what I just said, that you can't do it all yourself. So if you're not afraid to be surrounded by strong people, you can actually accomplish great things. This is one that many people should think about. Such and such could be the greatest president in our history. Or, oh my God, can I shake your hand? You're the guy that did thus and so. Would you sign my songbook? Little old me, you're too important. Do I dare ask you to do that? Don't you ever take that stuff seriously. You still get up every day and put your shoes on like everyone else. You eat, you have bodily functions, you get dressed, you have a career, just like everyone else. You may have accomplished major things, but you're still who you were before. So other people may put you up on a pedestal, particularly if they see you in media, either on television or they hear your voice on the radio, that suddenly makes you more important. No, you guys all know better than that, but I'm just saying this for the record. Here's something to keep in mind in case your ego gets away from you. We're only here a very short time, gentlemen. I'm going to be 64 years old next Sunday. I dare say that's past the halfway point. Okay, so it behooves me to keep a perspective about the ultimate importance of all these things and my place in them. Food for you to keep in mind as well. This was my band director's favorite verse. Napoleon had a different way of saying this. He said, if you're going to take Vienna, take Vienna. Don't sort of take it. I'm going to get around to taking it. If you're going to do it, do it. And be thorough and serious about it. Don't pussyfoot around. For me, I have sort of a nuanced answer for this, and you may have your own answers. I demand that the glass be half full. That's the starting point. It's not a question of what it is. It's that life that gives you lemons, personality coming through again. This is one that was like a light bulb came on for me. And my high school band director, who was my ultimate inspiration for leadership, mentioned this to me. He came to visit EKU when I was a professor and he was speaking as a visiting clinician with our music ed kids. And we were in my office talking and I was talking about all the nightmare that I'd gone through in my first term as Phi Mu Alpha president back in the 90s. And I said, you know, I guess I'm just not cut out to be a leader. I can't stand up in front of people and scream in their face and spit flying and nose to nose with them like you did. And he threw his head back and let out a horse laugh and started slapping his thigh while he was laughing, turned beet red in the face. And when he finally caught his breath, he says, "Richard, that's the way that worked for me. Find the way that works for you. You're a leader, just find your own method of doing it." And I thought, oh my God, the soft-spoken, firm, empathetic, validating kind of guy that everyone knows has a steel backbone, but is kind and supportive. That's me. That's my style. What's your style? Something to think about. So if you think, "I can't be a leader because I'm not thus and so," yes, you can. And yes, you are. You just need to do some self-study. Now, I can't emphasize this enough. If you win elected office in some organization like ours or whatever else, chances are someone else wanted that spot. But you got it. So if you got it, shut the hell up and do the work. "This is too hard. I didn't think it was going to be like this," or "I got too much going." No, no. Damn it. Do the work. You asked for it, you got it. Ah, Star Wars analogy. This presentation used to have the name of a couple of my Padawans, and I just took that out yesterday. It hadn't aged well. You always have to be looking to the next generation, sharing your vision and bringing them along and letting them do their part to make the collective effort successful. I could not have done the restoration of the object or any of that stuff by myself. Those weren't even originally my ideas. I'm the one that pulled it together and found the young guys that were willing to do the work and were committed to it. You need to do the same thing. And there's something to be said for being a mentor. There's really nothing like it. And if you're like me that has no children and never will have children, this is as close as you can get. Think of all the young men I've had a chance to mentor over the past 45 years in the fraternity. I think I did that. I think I did that, and there's only so much I can do. This is the hard part for a lot of people in leadership. I can't tell you, when I finished in 2009 at that convention, I packed up my bags and I stopped by the meeting room where the new NEC was meeting. And it was the first time I hadn't been on the NEC in 9 years. And I opened the door and some of them were married and had kids. So there was kid carriers and toys on the floor and kids running around and they were trying to have a meeting and whatnot. And I looked around and I thought, they're gonna be okay. I've done my part and it's time for me to go and I'm okay with that. And I smiled and walked out the door and closed the door and drove home and felt perfectly comfortable knowing that my season had come and gone. Something to think about. Now, this is a bush that's right outside of the music building at EKU. I treasured this time every time of year for the last 35 years. Those blossoms last for about 1 or 2 weeks, and then they're gone, which makes me think of the transience of things. The blooms are only with us for a while. So, that speaks for itself. Woe be to he who doesn't think so. This is how I was successful. I didn't dominate the NEC. I led the NEC and built consensus, listened, and said, I think this is what everyone's saying. Would you agree that this is it and this is where we want to go? And they're like, yes. Yeah. Too much of this. I almost added, and don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out at the end of that, but I thought discretion being the better part of valor. I dare say perhaps some of you agree with this. If only people would do this. That's the key to it right there. That I will place the welfare of this brotherhood above personal interests or desires. This is generally true, but it's not totally carved in stone. I know a guy that did everything right from the time he was a teenager through Air Force, through teaching people to fly fighter jets. He wanted to be an astronaut. That's all he wanted for his life's goal. And because of political connections, he didn't make it. He still was a very highly regarded top gun in the US Air Force. He's retired now and is a consultant for NASA. He was willing to pay the price. It didn't quite work out. But in general, if you're willing to pay the price, you can be whatever you want to be. Sometimes the price is too high and you're not willing to pay it. But if, that's the key word. This was a revelation to me. I was always, as a young person, amazed by quote unquote important people and people in leadership positions. And I could never be a college professor. Those people are so smart. They know all this stuff. Okay, I'm a college professor, but I could never be a foundation professor. They know more than everyone else, and I'm just a piano player. Oh, and you suddenly realize everyone else thinks that there's no room at the top too, and it's a big empty room. There's plenty of room for you to be at the top. You'll be surprised. And with that, I thank you for being such a good audience. I hope this has been helpful.
Well, I'd like to say thank you, Brother Crosby, one more time for that amazing presentation. That was fantastic. And the chat has been very active throughout. I imagine you probably didn't have it up on your screen while it was being shared, but if you wanted to head back into the chat and see some of the comments that were made. I did open by saying if anybody had a question or a comment directly for you that they could do so and I would interrupt, but it looks like we've just been commenting back and forth. So please feel free to check that out. It'll hopefully it'll warm your heart a bit.
I will do that.
All right.
I'm doing that right now. Excellent. Please proceed.
Excellent. So thank you again. That was a fantastic presentation. I'm sure that those that that were here for it heard a lot of things that they needed to hear, got some new perspectives on things. So it was delightful.
You're very welcome. Yes.
Well, if there were any other questions or comments that anybody wanted to direct toward Brother Crosby, now would be a great time to unmute your microphone or to raise your hand or to put something in the chat. I see that Brother Glenn would like to either comment or question. Brother Glenn, go ahead.
Hey, Rich, as I listened to this, there was a lot of flashbacks to 2002 when I drove up to Kentucky to meet you for my first province governor onboarding.
Yes.
And, you know, I've not seen this presentation before in this format, but I've seen this presentation in the way that you have handled all of us youngins the entire time we've known you. Because even without those bullet points in the slide, that's the way that you brought us up. That's the way that you have taken care of all of us. And you've led by example. And that's the most important thing. And thank you for all of the example that you've given us. It's not been the easiest road, especially not right now, but it's damn well been worth it. And thank you for all the perspective that you've given. You're the reason many of us have made it as far as we have.
Thank you, Ash.
All right, I'm seeing a hand up from Brother Herrig as well. Go ahead, Brother Herrig.
Just got to tell you, I heard this presentation from you the first time at one of the CPR convos. I don't remember which one, but you gave the presentation to the CPRs. And it was such a, after hearing so many presentations on leadership this and how to be a leader that over the years, no one had ever sat down and said, you know, this kind of sucks. Just so you're aware, a lot of this is no fun. It's just work, and you got to grind it out. And it is continued to be one of the most impactful and insightful things anyone has told me, and has allowed me to make at the very least a lot of impact in my local chapter as an alumni and as the alumni relations officer with them, and hopefully elsewhere in my life. That you just have to do the stuff. You don't necessarily get any reward for it. You just have to do what you think is the right thing to do.
That's its own reward.
And Brother Kramer, go ahead.
Two things for you, Rich. One, you know, one of the things that's been such a joy for me is watching how you've grown over the years. You had so much to offer when I first met you a long time ago. You know, as life tends to smooth the rough edges on a stone, it's been a real joy for me to see that in you. And the other side of that is, don't you get any ideas, old man? You're not done leading just yet. Until we got to pull your cold, dead hands out of the grave, you're going to be at it. So keep strong, because we need you. You're a great leader in every way that you've always been. So thank you for it.
Thanks, Don.
Yes, your leadership is going to be like your slideshow. There's always going to be another slide.
I love it.
We have a question from Brother Hernandez from the chat. says, as a young leader, we are inspired by those who come before us. Who in this fraternity was it that inspired you, and what did you take from them heading into your first term as national president?
This is going to sound terrible, but there was no one. I had to find my own way. My predecessors were far from role models in general. You know, not including Jervis. Jervis was special, but in general, the fraternity leadership was, especially the ones I had met, were just not very, they weren't leaders. They were in it for the wrong reasons in leadership positions. Part of that presentation comes out of seeing what they did and what being in the wrong role did to them, and the progress that the organization didn't make. So I just drew upon my own life experiences and my outside examples of leaders that I followed to do it. Plus, as Don say, I took my my blows to the chin along the way and smoothed off some rough edges. I wasn't always as comfortable in my own skin as I am now, but that's come from a lot of sandblasting and chiseling.
No doubt. I believe I saw Brother Braz. Did your hand go up for a second there?
It did. Yes.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Richard, I've not heard the talk before, but you know, as a 70 plus something, you know, person listening to this whole thing and seeing the advice, it is so much a product of our conversations that we've had as we've sort of woven in and out of seeing each other occasionally. My venue with the fraternity has not been in leadership. It's been very much in the trenches, in the chapter trenches, everything like that. But seeing you particularly, and by the way, I still remember with great pleasure you're the premier of your sonata at the SAI National Convention there, and just had a great time, seeing that. And I won't go into my stump speech about how organizations probably should be run and all that, because that's kind of beating a dead horse right now. But just the conversations, the opportunities that we've had to talk. I mean, what I sat there listening tonight for the first time is just so natural based on everything that we've talked about before. And all I've ever told my own students at university level, and you know, just people that I've tried to assist, is that the principles of the fraternity, the real principles, are actually a very fine way to live a life, to base a life. And as one of the few people who was initiated at age 17, back in the days when they could do that sort of thing, I've been with this organization, again, a long time. But I've also told them that one of the functions of a teacher is to make as a teacher, you try to make yourself obsolete. That doesn't mean obsolete, period. It just means that if I teach a student how to play a C major scale, one octave there, and they get that thumb cross and everything like that, then once they know how to do that, they don't need me to do that anymore. I don't have to own them for that. They don't depend on me for that information. Maybe two octaves, the point is that every step along the way is to kind of empower students and empower the people you work with to become functional and independent of you, as opposed to trying to own them. And I think the ownership, the idea that you belong to me because I'm your teacher, or because I'm your president or your executive director or anything like that, I think that's there's a lot of problems with that right now. But again, thank you very much for just packaging. Like I said, maybe if I had heard this five times, I wouldn't be surprised. But having heard it once, it's just everything that we've talked about and that I've heard you talk about in public in other venues before. And I thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
All right. Were there other questions or comments on the presentation? All right. Seeing none at this point, I would like to give one last round of applause and appreciation for such a wonderful presentation. Thank you so much for doing this, Rich, especially on such short notice. I sent him a message, I think, what, about 5 days ago or so, and I was like, hey, guess what I forgot to plan for? Want to come bail me out? And then put together this amazing presentation. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And next time I need somebody on 5 days' notice, I know who I can turn to.
Someone else.
Very good. All right. Well, I think that about does it for the presentation, Brother Angel.